Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
If you hear this sound, that means this episode is also featured on our YouTube channel as a video. Head over to www.youtube.com/keepitweirdpodcast to check it out.
Warning. This episode contains foul language and mentions of kidnapping, suicide, and mental health struggles.
Listening and maybe watching Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, bloody, haunted, mysterious, psychic, morbid, and everything in between. Each week we sit down together from across the country and we talk about something weird. And this week is of course no exception at all, as we dive in and discuss all things beautifully bizarre. Now, it is hard to top last week because it was our dream come true episode with our favorite paranormal researchers, Greg and Dana, but we are here to try, dang flabbit. The show must go on, and we have more weird to share. And we actually have some strange tales that we touched on just briefly on last week's episode that we are going to dig deeper into. So buckle up for a whole lot of creepy, kooky chat. And you might hear about some ears. You might hear about some mysteries. You might hear about who knows what. It's about to get crazy. My name is Lauren, and this is my beautiful co-host, Ashley.
Hi, weirdos. I cut you off there. Hello. I didn't know you were going to extend the E for as long as you did.
I just felt like really singing your name.
Yeah, you're very Hi, musical weirdos. Today. Hi, weirdos. Boy, wasn't last week fun.
Goodness gracious. I still can't believe it happened.
I can't either. I wanted to say thank you guys. So many of you reached out to be like, I can't believe this is happening. You know, congratulations. And I just want to say thank you because it's not like we started this podcast because of them. We didn't know who they were when we started this podcast, but I think they've definitely influenced us in so many ways regarding
majorly
the way we investigate or the way, you know, the things we're interested in. And so, like, getting to talk to them was really, really, really cool. And they're so nice.
It was very special. Truly the nicest humans. Like, I know a lot of people say, don't meet your heroes. And
meet
you have that fear. Yeah.
Meet your heroes. Meet
because Greg and Dana, gosh, they just proved that your heroes can be fabulous. And, yeah, it was very cool to fangirl, as we say, with all of you, because you truly were so supportive on Facebook and Instagram, just being right there along with us, because it was a dream come true.
I have a very big straw today.
Sip out of the, I know, now I kind of wish I had a big weird straw to drink out of.
It's the only straw I could find. Journey. I wanted to preserve my lipstick.
Very smart. Yeah, see, mine immediately came off. The color is gone. So you were smart. See?
Well, straws. You gotta be prepared. Lesson number one.
Lesson number one.
So I also wanted to announce that we have all of our October episodes planned. If everything goes according to plan, aside from our very special Halloween Listener Ghost Stories episode that we do every year, you will be hearing from three different guests, which is awesome because we haven't really had any guests this season besides Greg and Dave.
We have not. No, it's just been the two of us. Sorry, guys. I hope you've been entertained by little old us, but
I think it's a...
Yeah, we're very excited.
I mean, it's scheduling. Like, it's hard to schedule remotely between two of us. So when you're adding another person into it, it's just sort of like, oh boy.
What are we gonna do?
What are we gonna do?
Honestly, the fact that we've put on this show, just the two of us, is amazing. Cheers to us. Cheers.
It's like,
on with the show.
I suck, and then it's like, one Mississippi, two Mississippi before it hits my lips.
The slow journey up the long straw.
All right, guys, it's been a weird day.
All right, Ashley, you brought.
I did. I brought kind of a massive segment.
You brought quite a doozy.
And this week, I'm giving it a little throwback to a segment because it's time to call Miss Cleo. Dial 626-686-1821 and ask me your psychic question. Call me now. It's time for Miss Cleo because we are going into a little bit of the psychic sphere. Maybe this will get us revved up for playing with our Xenor cards later. I don't know. But
this is a big one.
I mentioned it briefly last week when we chatted with the Newkirks. Last month, I have to give a quick shout out. Last month, I got to catch up with my good friend, one of our very first guests ever on the show, Ben Velker. You may remember him from Rosemary's Benjamin, an episode where we discussed films based on real life horror. And Ben's always been a supernatural buddy of mine. He's down to clown when it comes to the supernatural. He's a huge UFO guy. He's constantly sending me updates in that sphere. And we're always discussing our theories on what the latest disclosure news is. Anyway, hi, Ben. I love you. So,
hi, Ben. We're obsessed with you.
Obsessed. You're one of my favorite people. Anyway, last month I got to spend a few days with him, and he introduced me to something that has changed my life. It's called, once again, the Kozarev mirror.
So excited about this. You really built it up in a great way last week.
I know, it better be good. This story is going to take us places. Please bear with me if it gets a little too sciencey. Like, trust me, in the end, you're going to be like, where can we find the parts? How do we build the machine? Let's change the world for the better. Okay. So,
ready.
On June 19th, 2000, 100 pages of CIA documents were declassified, meaning it was approved for the release to the public. These documents have two names at the top, B.P. Kozarev and M.A. Kropotkin. The titles of these papers are things like A Study of Spectral Reflection Coefficients of the Coating of Thermal Radiation, or Determination of the Spectral Coefficients of Reflection of Friable Materials. So these were basically...
Yeah. Household names.
Household things. Yeah, you guys have all read them. We know exactly.
Talk about it over coffee every
morning. Talk about it in the morning. So these were two Russian physicists, their experiments, and even some of their designs. And some of these experiments are explicitly non-spooky, like figuring out the correct voltage for testing the insulation of electric machines to keep conditions safe for factory workers. Awesome. Okay. Great job, guys.
Cool.
Machines to detect CO2 in gas furnaces. Awesome. But there was a lot of weird stuff, too. They were the first people to say that there were volcanoes on the moon and Venus, which we found out years and years later is actually true.
Wow.
I found out for the first time reading this. I had no idea.
But yeah, me either. Wait, so when did they find out?
Oh, well, this was probably the 50s or 60s.
And we like just found out about this.
Yeah, about, I want to say 15 or 16 years ago or maybe less.
Well, dang.
There's too many dates to remember at this point. So
sure. Yeah. Carry on.
So, but the most famous documents in this collection of declassified documents were definitely the ones referring to mirrors, reflection, and radiation, and the creation of a device known as the Kozarev mirror. So the designs are present in the documents on how to create the mirror. The patent is also available online. I will have it linked in the description of the episode. So if you want to build one, you may.
Can't wait. We're doing it.
I'm going to describe it to you, and I have a picture that I'll put in the video, and I'll also show you, Lauren, so that you can see what it looks like. But basically, you need 0.5 millimeter thick aluminum alloy plates that are 9 feet high and 4 feet wide. And then you connect these aluminum alloy plates together in a spiral. So it's going to look like this. Can you see that?
All curled up. Spiral.
And those are 9 feet tall. Okay? So
that's tall.
It's a big thing. It's not small. It's not
that is
pocket-sized.
Quite tall. I say.
So the spiraled aluminum then needs to be mounted on a platform of some kind that has a motor that can rotate the device while you sit in the middle of it. And again, I'm going to put a picture here. So if you are listening to this and you're confused, hop on YouTube, check out this portion of the episode. I've got so many things to show you. So The original intent with this mirror, what Kozarev and Kropotkin created this for, was to correct psychosomatic diseases. And a psychosomatic disease is essentially when your mental health affects your physical health in some way. So extreme stress that has been known to contribute to ulcers, certain neuroses in the brain, chronic fatigue syndrome, trauma even, have really nasty physical effects on our bodies. So these men believe this device would offer major therapeutic benefits on our bodies. And
okay, then
they
definitely are building it.
Right!
I was just thinking today how I hate that, like, my stomach is always deeply affected by ulcers and poo-poo time
just sit
due
in
to
the
my
middle
anxiety.
Of this mirror, apparently.
It's the therapy I need.
Listen, look up the patent.
Tell me everything.
Alex can build stuff. Alex seems pretty handy. I feel like he could probably figure it out. But this machine worked. They healed people's ulcers. They healed a tremor in a man's hands. They decreased people's blood pressure who had high blood pressure when medications and other therapies didn't work for them. All their patients slept better. They had decreased anxiety. It improved myocardial overload and coronary circulation in their patients. It's a fucking miracle. I don't know why we don't use it, but...
Yeah, what? Oh. What are you about to tell
me? The mirror had a surprise side effect, and, like, spoiler alert if you read or watched last week's episode. Some patients who sat in the Kozarev mirror would time travel.
Is that, like, a bad side effect? Because I'm like, let's go.
Listen, I will put in the middle of this fucking mirror.
I feel like you're trying to talk me out of this, and I'm here for it.
Honestly, I
Where
haven't
do I travel
found
to?
A negative side effect yet. So,
no. Very here for it.
But just to be clear, Kozarev didn't expand on the strange phenomena that would happen within the mirror. He was focused solely on curing mental health diseases. And at the time, it wasn't that Kozarev was a quack, but he was ostracized a little bit from the scientific community because, okay, so it was Russia. And in the 1930s, he was considered to be one of the most promising astrophysicists in Russia, but he ended up being arrested and spent a good chunk of his life in a Russian prison for, quote, counter-revolutionary activity and, quote, hostile propaganda. Russia.
Damn Russia. At it again.
Boy, oh boy.
Just can't. Goodness. Okay.
God bless America. Right, guys? Land of the free. But by the time he was out of prison and went back to, you know, being a scientist, he struggled to fit back into the community and his work wasn't really recognized as promising anymore, which is sad because, like I said, some of his wacky theories that were dismissed at the time are now supported by
most
physicists.
Ended up being completely true.
So... For example, he had a theory that cells within the human body possess the ability to receive and transmit low levels of light or electromagnetic radiation. And we now know that plenty of animals have cells that can receive and transmit electromagnetic radiation. We've proven it in experiments. And we also know that because that's how birds are able to migrate and fly in those formations and not hit each other and fall to the ground.
Right.
with no leader. Exactly. It really is kind of a collective consciousness that they have, and mammals have it too. So do we. We just don't exactly know how to control it.
Use it properly. Yes.
We've also had scientists prove that humans spontaneously emit visible radiation from their skin. Most of us in the woo-woo community would call this an aura, but they call it biophoton or ultra-weak photon emission. And it's been able to be recorded with high-sensitive CCD detectors and has been observed getting brighter and more vibrant when a person experiences different emotions like anger, pain, sadness, etc. So, like, he may have been called a quack back then. And like I said, not even a quack. Just sort of like he wasn't supported a lot by the scientific community. Yeah. And now we know he was right.
He was right about so many things, and I'm sure people were a little like, you're slightly on, like, the witchy side. Like, yeah. I don't know what to make of you.
Exactly.
But, gosh, he was so smart.
Then in 1990, there were scientists that were still paying attention to his work. And in 1990, a program began at the Institute of Experimental Medicine of the Academy of Sciences in Siberia. By Dr. Vlal Vaznachev and Dr. Alexander Trofimov. So volunteers who were placed inside the Kozarev mirror first experienced fear and sickness, which I totally understand because so here's the thing. The only thing I don't understand about this machine yet is when the platform is spinning, I don't know if you are spinning with the mirror or if the mirror is spinning around you.
Oh.
Either way, I could see where that would make you a little physically loopy.
You'd feel a little sick, a little dizzy or out of it. But
so they would feel that,
I'm very curious.
They would feel sick at first and kind of afraid because they didn't like it. But very soon after, they would feel calm and floaty. And one person even had an intense, nostalgic, and surreal experience seeing their younger self. So after they did this, they were like, get the volunteers. We are testing this on 100 fucking people. I think it ended up being like 200 people, but we're testing this on the masses. And a lot of strange things happened while experimenting with this device, including plasmoids that resembled ball lightning appearing in the sky, witnessed not only by lab workers, but also residents of the area. UFOs that remained in sight for several minutes at a time, again, witnessed by many.
Casual.
The ability to remote view. So basically the people inside the device were able to tell what the researchers were holding in their hand in the next room.
See, that's a power I want.
Okay.
I'm here for this machine.
I want it. And something really wild, none of that is wild, but something very wild as well, symbols that would appear in the device, almost the way that the participants explained it was that, like, they were almost 3D out of the mirror and floating in the atmosphere around them, these symbols. And after they would get out of the device, they'd kind of write down the symbols and record what they saw. And this is extremely hard to believe, but a lot of participants who drew out the symbols drew matching symbols as the other participants, despite being isolated from each other. These participants weren't like sitting in a cafeteria talking to each other. They didn't know who each other were. They didn't have any contact. And they were drawing the same symbols. And 2,000 distinct symbols were recorded during this time. And the symbols were given to linguistics researchers who concluded 80% of the symbols that came out of this machine actually came from ancient cultures, primarily ancient Sumeria.
Whoa. Okay. First of all, this is how we will pass the Zener card challenge, clearly, the symbols.
Mirror.
I'm thinking like low stakes first, just getting us to do this and then see where we can go. But wow. Okay. This is insane. And also, like, thank you again to Ben for bringing this to our attention. Seriously. But how have we not heard of this before? Where has this been tucked away? I cannot believe it.
I cannot believe that it's been 7 years and I still don't really struggle to find things to talk about on the show.
Right. I know.
There's never been a week where I'm like, I don't know what to bring. It's like, well, I have 80 options. So
it's shocking. It's pretty cool. It's pretty shocking.
Okay, so the Khazarev mirror was believed to unlock human psychic abilities and awaken human consciousness. It worked particularly well on women and female children. Don't know why, just thought it was interesting.
Women are superior?
Women are better than men.
Who said that?
And the crazy thing is, I keep saying, and the crazy thing is, or like, what's really weird? It's all crazy. It's all weird.
It's all crazy and weird, and we love it.
But after the experiments were done, the participants claimed that the effects of the mirrors lasted a long time, that they had experiences with ESP, saw UFOs, saw ghosts, read minds, all kinds of shit, and it would eventually fade to either not having it anymore, or they just, you know, stopped contacting, and maybe they had it for the rest of their lives. I don't know, but it definitely faded the longer they went without sitting in the mirror. And the way that they claimed the mirrors work was essentially that the mirrors have the ability, especially the curvature of the mirrors, had the ability to bend and redirect something known as time energy. And that this energy somehow correlated with ESP phenomena of the human body to detect electromagnetic radiation in the environment. So the mirror was their attempt to channel this information back at the organism present inside the mirror. And the result was essentially turning on a person's natural psychic abilities, which is somehow connected with not only Earth's gravitational force, but its electromagnetic energy and time, which may actually be a dynamic force and not a passive dimension, which is something a lot of physicists have said, that time is time is another force like gravity or radiation. Right. Good Lord.
Oh my gosh!
Success rate of the experiments with the Khazarev mirrors were 95%, which is absolutely insane. It surprised both the doctors working on the case, along with the CIA, who obviously became extremely interested in this. And
did they?
As far as anyone knows, are the ones that have this machine now.
And they're just going to use it for dumb stuff.
Yeah, they're going to use it bad things. But over 40% of participants experienced different stages of their life, interacted with their past, observed historical events, and had their consciousness transferred to different time periods or what they could only describe as different dimensions.
Wow. I feel like the whole time you've been describing this, I kept having a thought I wanted to say, and then I realized, I think you literally said this last week, and I'm maybe, like, you put the idea in my head, but it sounds like an ayahuasca ceremony.
Yeah.
Like, didn't you say that?
Yes, yeah. It's almost like
talking to your younger self, going through, like, looking into other dimensions, like, seeing parallel versions of yourself. I don't know. It's just all of this sounds like ayahuasca, except maybe without the vomiting, except maybe with the vomiting, because you said the spinning part. So honestly,
no one really said if they got that sick. But Khazarev's theories, along with the massive results from the 90s with Kazanachev and Trofimov, suggest that we do have the power to shape our own reality and connect with the universe through energy and information, basically something that mystics have been saying for centuries, only now in this way it's kind of broken down in more scientific terms. But again, the major question is, why isn't this technology accessible to the masses for the benefit of humanity?
Correct. Yep. That's what I'd like to know.
Are experiments still being done? Is the government keeping this from us? Like, why is this not a form of therapy for people? And the only reason I can think that it's not a form of therapy for people is because it makes people, you know, quote unquote, dangerous if they have the abilities that the mirror provides. And something Greg brought up last week too is that, like, mirrors and reflective surfaces have been used since the beginning of time by mystics, witches, monks, kings, queens, you know, scrying mirrors, which I just bought my first scrying mirror. It should be here. Any day. Nostradamus claimed this was how he saw all of his visions of the future and made his predictions. Mm-hmm. Crystal balls, the bent reflective surfaces. It's been used for millennia.
It's been a thing. Yeah. Mirrors are where it's at.
I know I mentioned this last week too, but I wanted to bring it up again because it really connected to Greg and Dana, the Haunted Objects podcast is where they talked about this. They have an object in their collection. It's a scrying mirror that they refer to as a dark mirror. And a ton of people have looked into it and seen crazy stuff like other people that weren't there or their own face changing or seeing themselves in the past or future or seeing themselves smile when they aren't smiling, mm-hmm. which is so creepy.
Gives me the willies.
But most notably, there was a Vietnam War vet who would come to different events that they were presenting their museum at and request to sit with the mirror for some time. And after, you know, three or four times of doing it, because they would always ask, like, did you see anything scary? And he would say no. And after three or four times of doing it, they were like, why do you keep wanting to sit with a mirror if you're not experiencing anything scary? And he was like, for some reason, and I don't know why, my PTSD symptoms noticeably decrease for a time after spending time with this mirror.
It's so just, again, it's like the most beautiful thing
the
in
the therapy.
World. It's therapy. Yeah.
So I don't know. We all need to get.
And you just, mirrors, I feel like truly it's all about mirrors. Everybody get your scrying mirror today. I'm acting like we're selling it. No, but it is crazy to me. And maybe it's just because the CIA took this and was like, now it's all under wraps and you'll never hear about it again because you can't enjoy anything on this mm-hmm. earth. We have to ruin everything. But it is crazy to me that it wouldn't be offered to the masses as some sort of therapy, because I do feel like therapy is getting so much more experimental these days. You know, we're
mushrooms,
doing microdosing,
yeah.
mushrooms. Like, there's ketamine
fucking
therapy.
Ketamine,
I didn't think of that.
Which
but
is
like,
insane.
I never, whenever I hear about people doing that, I'm like, this is illegal, right? But it's not. So I'm just saying, like, it's crazy that something with a mirror would not also be a part of this new revolution of therapy. And when mental health is, you know, becoming finally more important in the world, it's just wild to me, which makes me think that it has even more power than what we're being told, which, I mean, we are being
told nothing.
Told a lot of wild things, but we're like, everything you just said is wild, but I just, yeah, now we're being told nothing and suddenly we're not hearing about it anymore because anything that has that kind of power, it's like, oh, this is for us now. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
No, it's really
annoying. I want to build one.
Because the only reason that I'm like, why is no one talking about this? Why it like seems like it's being suppressed. What? But if it was being suppressed,
why would the patent be available? Because we can build one.
I don't know. But anyways, a little bit of a turn here. But Ben texts me today. He doesn't know we're recording today. And he doesn't know that we're talking about the cause of Revmir. But he says, I've got something else for you. And he tells me to look up a book called The Universal One by Walter Russell. So I look it up. And the tagline is, and this book's from 1926. The tagline is, a must for the serious student of Russell's science and philosophy. The Universal One is Walter Russell's first expression of his new cosmology explaining the mind-centered electromagnetic universe. And inside, it has this diagram.
Okay.
It looks just like the cause of Revmir.
I was like, that was me going spiral.
It looks
that was what I was doing.
Exactly like this fucking mirror. And the more I read about
and
this
say
book,
it again, Ashley. What year was it from?
1926.
That's right, everybody. That means we have always known about this.
We've always known.
This is a thing.
Yeah.
This is a thing.
Then I found out that Nikola Tesla himself told this man to lock up this knowledge in a safe for 1,000 years until man is ready for it.
What?
Oh my God. Wild. This whole book is about quantum mechanics and general relativity in which Russell explains that everything is God and God is everything and matter is evolving and living and there is no death and everything in the universe is a part of God and is understandable and measurable by man if we know how to measure it. And he constantly refers to God, but sometimes he calls it the mind with M being capitalized. So he's essentially...
They're one in the same.
Yeah, he basically... Like, consciousness is God.
Right, right.
And he basically took wisdom and philosophy from ancient Greek, Roman, Egyptian, Hindu, and Buddhist cultures and study their concepts through a scientific lens. This man was, again, brilliant, but not sort of...
Not supported.
Supported by the scientific community.
Fully trusted, yeah.
Yeah.
By science.
Even in 1954, yeah. He predicted that the use of radioactive elements would not only destroy Earth's protective atmosphere and heat the planet, which is we now know is true, but could also destroy the entire universe as we know it. He wrote about it in another book called Atomic Suicide. Oof. So that's dangerous.
Woof. Yeah, that sounds safe and nice.
Yeah, it was obviously right around the time the atomic bomb was dropped. He had a lot of thoughts on it.
Heard about it.
Heard about it. Oppenheimer. Anybody see it?
Oppenheimer. Anybody
gone to the movies this summer? May I tell you very quickly about One More Mirror?
Yes. You act like you're like taking up too much time. I'm like hanging on your every word. I am here for this. Keep it coming.
So
another mirror. Let's go.
I had this on my, I keep like just a big Google Doc full of future episode ideas. This was on my list of future episode ideas before I learned about the cause of RevMir.
Oh, wow.
It's a device called the Chronovisor, and it was developed by Father Pellegrino Ernetti, who is a Benedictine monk.
Pellegrino!
Mm,
you fancy no like that sparkling
relation
water.
That I know of.
I had to make a comment. It's a lovely name, sir.
Father Ernetti was a Benedictine monk, scientist, and exorcist in the 60s who got together.
And exorcist.
Yeah, just you okay, throw that sorry. One in. Here's the thing.
Sure.
It was a popular time for exorcists. And it only like became more popular in the next 15 years.
It was trendy as hell. All right.
But he got together with several scientists, including physicist Enrico Fermi, who created the world's first nuclear reactor and developed the Fermi paradox, for anyone who's heard us talk about that, and former Nazi scientist, Werner von Braun,
whoops,
who the United States brought over and helped us get to space for the first time.
Werner von Braun.
Werner von Braun. Just, he worked for
that's
NASA.
That's just the most yeah. German.
We brought name him over after okay. World War II right. to work on our stuff.
Sure.
In Project Paperclip, something that we've also talked about on this show. Ding.
Hello.
Hello. The Chronovisor is supposedly made of reflective mirrors, cathode rays, and antenna, and received sound and light signals on all wavelengths and allowed the team of scientists to document events of the past, including the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the Last Supper.
What? What?
And Ernetti maintained to his death in 1994 that the machine exists, that he witnessed the past, and that the machine has been hidden in the Vatican to protect it from falling into the wrong hands. He even said Pope Pius XII forbade them to disclose any details about the device because the machine was very dangerous and could, quote, restrain the freedom of man. The Vatican decreed in 1988 that anyone using an instrument of such characteristics would be excommunicated from the church.
Whoa.
Which honestly, here's what it leads me to believe. Because if they did indeed were able to look back at like the crucifixion of Christ or the Last Supper or like events in Christ's life, and they right. did not want to share that with their followers, it leads me to believe that if this, you know, was real, they those events did not go down like the Bible says they did.
I was just going to say, they were coming back and saying like, hey, guess what? The book is wrong.
Here's the thing.
And the church is like, shh.
Yeah, that would be detrimental to man. It's like, no, it would be detrimental to the church.
You.
But it's fine.
You, sir. We need to be telling the truth.
Yeah.
Okay.
So supposedly that also exists and is hidden in the Vatican. And it's the same concept of using mirrors and getting different waves of electromagnetic energy and seeing into the past. So
mirrors, everybody. It's all about mirrors. And the big guys on top are going to try and sweep it under the rug, mm-hmm. whether it's the Vatican, whether it's the CIA, the man's
going to
sweep
get us down.
It under the rug. Mirrors. Ooh. Okay, I'm sorry. I had a tequila soda. Things are
I had a tequila soda. Weird. Things are getting very silly over here. Yeah, so basically that's what's the Kozarev mirror is and my new obsession and spirals and mirrors. It also makes sense, I think. That if this mirror were to open up your consciousness and open up your psychic abilities, that it would very much help people with stress-related mental health disorders in the same way that near-death experiences change people's lives forever for the good with their experiences. Yep. Because once you are – there's a lot of life that is bogged down by the worry that you're not doing enough or you're not – living the right way, or you have a finite amount of time, and all of that worry and stress and grief of losing people would essentially be gone if you
if you had this mirror,
had this,
this
mirror
experience,
this ability,
because you would be able to allegedly see into the past or see into the future. Is it only the past, or did they say like all
direction
time,
I think mostly
yeah.
It went,
it seemed like you could go
past,
in any direction,
but
okay.
I don't know, I
but
feel
still.
Like if you were seeing into the future, you wouldn't quite know if it was the, I mean, they definitely saw themselves, like, for example, one woman. Ooh, I can't remember if this was the Kozarev mirror or Greg and Dana's podcast. But at one point, one woman looked into, I think it was haunted objects. One woman had something happened where, like, her cornea detached from her eye, and they were able to reattach it. But, like, basically they told her, like, there's a finite amount of time. You can definitely go blind in this eye. And when she looked in the mirror, she saw herself with, like, a milky eye. Like, her eye. And the thing is,
so
is, like, was
seeing...
she seeing her in the future? Or was it just like her biggest fear being
shown to her, reflected back?
Yeah,
because sometimes you see, you're like seeing your actual reflection in the mirror, not just the outside, but your insides too, for lack of a better term. Which, yeah, gosh, I mean, I just can't say enough how much I want this mirror to exist in my life, because everything you're saying, which I know you completely relate, obviously, and we talk about this very openly on the podcast, but just. Horrific anxiety that I have of, like, everything in life, from the small stresses of work to, like, when are my parents gonna die, and when is my, like, what if my child falls off the balcony, you know, like, it's so dark. But I feel like this mirror could be everything I've ever needed to help me just understand life, help me understand myself, help me understand.
You know what else
all.
Is good? Xanax. I take it all the time. And
well, sure, medication will get you.
It works very well. I had to take one on this Sunday because my dad came down. It was his birthday. Happy birthday, Daddy.
Happy birthday, Papa.
73.
Oh, sweet.
It's your year, Ron. It's going to be your year. But he came up for his birthday,
baby.
And he, like, he walked in the door, barely hugged me, and was like, where's your leaf blower? And I was like, why? And he's like, I'm hanging it up. And I had to, like, go find my leaf blower and a couple other things, our weed whacker and a couple other things so we could hang. But that man is so
he's
stressed
out. He's a Home Depot
ad. Oh, he is.
Dun, 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 dun,
but for me, it's like, you just got here. You just walked in. Can we sit? Can we have a cup of coffee?
Can we chat? Visit? I'd like
Happy
to catch
birthday.
Up.
I have a card for you. And so, like, I was out there in the garage immediately helping him. And I came in and I took half a Xanax. I was like, I can't do
like,
this.
I can't deal with you. Oh, Lord. Anyways. Yeah. And shout out, except like shout down to CVS Pharmacy on that note, because I have been out of my medication for a few days now. And I told Ashley earlier, I had a bit of a menti bee at work today. Wow. And I have not had like a panic attack or a mental breakdown in quite some time, but I've been out of my medication for 5 days because CVS is like, we have to get it back in stock. Please hold every time I talk to them. So get your medication in, because that's how I deal with curveballs when life throws them at me. Anyway, shout out to medication.
Shout out to meds and mirrors.
And mirrors. Meds and mirrors, y'all. Oh,
well,
we're going to take a complete turn into sad things, because that's how I roll. This feels like old school Lauren, where I just used to go so depressing. We haven't gone this depressing in a while, but it's because it's okay. You're going to hear. It is. What time is it? True crime time. It's a vacation. What time is it? Time of our life. That's why scream and shout. Say la. Well, I don't know. But anyway, true crime time. But not. We're all doing our best out there. Not true crime in the horrible, depressing way we used to. This is an unsolved crime. So that is why I included it. And speaking of how we're always finding things to talk about, I don't know how I hadn't heard of this as, well, I had, but, like, I did not know all of the details. Okay. Like, I had seen it in passing on other podcasts and on TikTok, what have you. Have you heard of the Tara Calico Polaroid case?
Is that the one where, no. Wait, is that the one where, shh. It's the picture of the girl with the tape over her mouth that she's tied up in a trunk?
Yes.
I mean, yes. Okay, so that's all I know.
Okay, same. And yeah. I was always just like, oh, did they ever find her? I didn't know anything about it. Okay, so here's the story. And if you know about it, like, write in, chat with me. So on the morning of September 20th, 1988, so, hey, also timely, yeah. Month of September, 19-year-old Tara Calico left her home in Valencia County, New Mexico, to go for her daily bike ride. Her route along New Mexico State Road 47 was the same every single day. Sometimes her mom, Patty, would go with her. They both knew it well, and the pair traveled it together time and time again. But lately, her mom, Patty, had been skipping rides because there was a recent incident in which a car drove aggressively close to her. It was deliberately passing her multiple times, you know, driver shouting at her. It made her nervous, and now she didn't want to ride anymore. And she was actually nervous for her daughter, Tara, to ride. But Tara, however, continued the tradition, cheerfully leaving every day, ignoring her mother's suggestion and just saying, like, I don't need to carry mace. I'm good. I ride this every day. And it was the same stretch, whatever. So as she was heading out the door on this day, September 20th, she even looked back at her mom and said, you better come looking for me if I don't show up by noon. And she said this time specifically because she had a tennis date with her boyfriend at 12:30 that she did not want to miss. So it was like the whole day was planned. She was definitely coming home. But noon came and went. Tara Calico never came home that day. And it was the beginning of a mystery that still to this day has not been solved. Ugh. And for a time, I know, which I just, you know, I hate cold cases. I hate unsolved mysteries. But yet, we always come back to them because they are fascinating, but this one just is so sad. But she never came home that day. It is still a cold case to this day, but this consumed the nation for a long time because of some strange things that happened after. But before I get to that, I just wanted to say for the rest of that day, on this afternoon, Patty went out looking for her, went up and down the bike route looking for any sign of her daughter. When she couldn't find her, she contacted the police, and then a local search party was put together. Nobody could locate the bike or Tara. Witnesses were questioned. Nobody saw, you know, a car accident, anything that would signal an abduction. A few people recalled seeing Tara along the road on the route, but nobody else was near her. One person said they might have seen a pickup truck riding along, but didn't look anything out of the ordinary. So there was just truly nothing. So without compelling evidence of foul play, police began to question John and Patty about Tara's home life and basically started to say,
she probably ran
did
away.
She want to leave? Typical. She's 19. She's a runaway. Like, I'm sure she was showing signs of leaving. Oh, she had a boyfriend. Were they talking about getting away together? Yeah. You know, they were trying to play it that way. Meanwhile, the parents are like, no, she was the happiest, bubbliest girl in the world. She loved her life.
There would be no reason to run away. Like, she's 19 years old. There was it's no not reason. Like,
yeah. She was perfectly happy, perfectly content at home, which that also breaks my heart even more because I feel like these cases, that's always the description of the person, which I know is just, maybe that's just me. And I like, things happen to bad people too, but it's always like, she was valedictorian. She was the sweetest.
We've been watching a lot of forensic files and like every single episode, they're like, no one has a bad thing to say about the person. And part of it is like, after a person passes, you kind of like let go of all the bad things. Like very rarely are people like, he was a real piece of shit, you know? But at the same time, yeah. It's like, is the fact that they were so sweet and were so nice, what, something that contributed to what happened to them? Or,
right.
Like, is it just that after people die, we only talk about the best parts of
them? There's a respect for them. Sure. There's
but I've noticed
either,
that as well, you know, a lot lately where I'm like, okay, yeah. The best just person like, in the world
oh
is
my
gone.
God. Like, why? I know. So just, that's how it feels in this case, and it's very sad. But, okay, again, then things get even weirder on top of this person disappearing into thin air. In 1989, June 15th, 1989, nearly 9 months after Tara's disappearance, a Polaroid picture was discovered in a convenience store parking lot in Port St. Joe, Florida, across the country, nearly 1,500 miles, to be exact, from where Tara disappeared. And this photo showed a teenage girl and a young boy lying on sheets and a pillow with duct tape over their mouths and their hands appearing to be bound behind them, sort of what Ashley was describing before. The woman who found the picture immediately called the police, telling them that a white Toyota van had been parked in the spot just before she got there. It was a man with a mustache, probably in his 30s, who was the driver, and so police staged a roadblock to try and intercept the vehicle, but it was unsuccessful. So this just sounds like an unrelated thing, but then the Polaroid gains national attention. It appears on America's Most Wanted, and friends who tuned into the show called Patty, Tara's mom, and said, have you seen this Polaroid? It looks exactly like Tara. So Patty sees the photo. She's a little unsure. She's thinking, you know, is this just what I'm wanting to see?
Because
I want to see my daughter so badly. But then she's, you know, she gets a closer look at it and actually starts to think, whoa, this does look exactly like Tara. There's even a discolored streak on the girl's thigh that is in the same spot as a scar that Tara had gotten in a car accident when she was younger. And there was a bookmarked paperback book sitting next to the girl. It was a V.C. Andrews, which was one of Tara's favorite authors,
Flowers in
apparently.
The Attic. Hello.
So hello. So it was like, okay, that seems a little strange. I mean, these things could
Absolutely.
Be coincidental, but it just seemed bizarre. So Patty is convinced. She's like, this is my daughter. She looks a little bit aged, like she doesn't have makeup on. It's, you know, it's hard to tell, but I really think this could be my daughter. Authorities were completely split, making this even more confusing, which is just so unfortunate for everyone involved. But experts at the Los Alamos National Laboratory doubted it was her. The FBI just said inconclusive. And then Scotland Yard in the UK said, we'll take a stab at it. So they looked into it and concluded the girl was Tara Calico.
But people were like, mind your own business, Scotland Yard. You
Get
don't
out of
work
here.
Here.
You're not involved. You don't work for us. So get. But them offering their opinion was like, oh, look, now the family has hope. So I am just imagining the FBI being like, shut the fuck up. Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's just making this so complicated, so much harder on the parents. Responses are all over
the
place.
Yeah, and you don't want to start focusing all your efforts in Florida. to look for this person right. that disappeared and on from, this yeah, photo. Just based on this photo, because that could be tragic too.
It was putting the focus on the wrong things. It was, and unfortunately that is kind of what happened. Yeah, because they needed to be looking local. They needed to be looking into people who knew her. And they were for a time, but then it felt like everything kind of shifted to this weird photo. So all parties agreed that the photo had been taken recently. The Polaroid could not have been taken later than May of that year because the stock it had been developed on hadn't been available previously. So it was known that the photo was recent and it was giving people this false hope. So, but authorities still had nothing. So that's why this is awful. And then the waters were further muddied up because then family of a 9-year-old missing boy named Michael Henley came forward and said they believed the young boy in the Polaroid was their son. Michael had also vanished in New Mexico in April in 1988. So I'm just like, oh my gosh, why are we putting all our focus on this Florida picture that like kind of looks like your children? But I can't imagine losing a child. And I do understand to a point of like, you're trying to hold on to hope. So yeah. I'm sure there's that. But they come forward saying, we think this might be our missing son. He went missing in 1988 while on a hunting trip with his father. So now we have both these families believing children are in this photo abducted together and we have to figure this out. Sadly, in 1990, Michael Henley's remains were discovered in New Mexico's Zuni Mountains, just 7 miles from the campsite where he had disappeared. He had died of exposure long before this Polaroid had been developed. So that part was very sadly solved for Michael Henley's family. Tara still remained a mystery, but it kind of went on to show in my head, like, okay, we shouldn't be focusing on this photo too much. This was disproven, but it still stayed a thing. So the past 3 decades, Tara's case has remained cold. There was a 2013 task force that was kind of reignited to start like looking at the case, and some friends and family of Tara were getting more heavily involved than they ever had been, which, you know, seemed hopeful. They thought maybe some new things of evidence had come forward. But since then, her parents have moved to Florida to be away from the constant reminders in New Mexico, but also I think they were still holding on to this hope of the Florida photo. So they thought maybe we'd find something there. And so they just moved there and kind of were like, we're going to do our own thing. They still believe, and the friends on the task force believe, that this case has been mishandled from the start, that focuses were put in the wrong places, even though they also wanted to believe in the Polaroid. They just felt like the police were all over the place. They dropped the ball way too soon and got past the point of being able to solve it. They got past those crucial points in the beginning of talking to the right people. You know, we've seen the show First 48 and how important all of that is. So I'm just like, they were believing that. But today, Tara has been missing for about 35 years. It is very eerie and bizarre, but just June of this year, there may have been a break in the case. This was, again, a few months ago, and we still haven't heard anything definitive, but it was the first time in 35 years that somebody said, wait a minute. So authorities believe they have collected enough evidence because of friends of Tara. So this task force was actually doing something to arrest and charge the people responsible for Tara's disappearance. Sadly, this may also lead to the revelation that Tara was murdered the day that she disappeared and her remains could be somewhere close by. That is the most likely result of this, but again, still nothing has been found. Valencia County Sheriff's Office out of New Mexico has continued the investigation, will hopefully have definitive answers for the family, finally closure within the next year, but they're pretty certain that the girl in the Polaroid is not Tara. They've been trying to tell the parents that. I'm not sure what they are still in denial about it this time. We haven't really heard from them. It's all just wait and see at the moment. But it's the first time that this case has kind of peeked its head back out. I just had caught the story on TikTok by chance and thought, oh, I don't know a lot about this. I'll talk about it on the podcast. And then when I did more Googling, 2023 popped up and I was like, excuse? What? So it just felt weird and like chance. But so apparently it's kind of, it's been open this entire time, but it's been kind of reopened, if you know what I mean. It feels like forces are stronger than they've ever been. So honestly, if you're in the New Mexico area, you know anything about this, they are clearly taking any tips at this moment and trying to hone in on the people that could be responsible. The best friend, I believe her name is Melissa. I don't know if I wrote it down. But the best friend, Melissa, has been like leading, you know, one of the teams on this, kind of the outside of authorities teams. And she believes it was these high school boys that used to harass Tara constantly in high school about not going out with them. She was dating this other guy, wasn't giving them the time of day. Tale as old as time. Mm-hmm. She believes they had something to do with it and they knew her bike route and found her. So anyway, hopefully we will have answers soon. I would love for her parents to finally have closure after all these years. I cannot even begin to imagine. But yeah, the Polaroid that deceived a nation, basically. Yeah, I mean, basically. The Polaroid. And, oh, also a thing, no, we've never found out who the people in the Polaroid
that's
are.
That's what I was so going to bring up, bizarre. Is that we don't know who, like,
it's very strange.
There could be two other missing children featured in this photograph, but also I've seen the photograph and people have commented on the photograph and how, like, the...
They don't look like they're properly bound.
They don't look like they're in any type of distress. I've seen danger. The photo. And, yeah. Like, of course, like... They could have been instructed to look that way. Like, I'm not saying, like, it's fake. Totally. But at the same time, like, this could have been, you know, a picture taken for a school project. Like, it doesn't automatically mean that these kids in the photo were tied up and are being held somewhere by someone. But it also is something where it's like, we should find out if we can.
That's what's crazy is they've never been identified. Mm-hmm. And if that is the case, because I've had that same thought, and so is everyone on Reddit, you know, talking about, oh, they're like the shoulders would be further back if they were truly bound and couldn't move. And, you know, their faces would show more distress. There'd be red marks by the tape. People have
broke it down,
really inspected these photos and broken it down. But yeah, I've like everyone is saying, why haven't we found these people? If it is indeed a school project, if it was for,
true.
A horror, an indie horror film, why didn't anyone come forward and say like, oh,
that was me. I'm so sorry.
That was us.
Like, it's such a famous picture now. I feel like enough people have seen it that it would have gotten back to the people that took it or posed for it. And they would have said something. You're right.
Or like, how have like all of the TikTok damn detectives that exist now today, how have we not like seen these kids with our own eyes and said like, oh, it's these
people. It is
people.
Hard. I'm their just mouths shocked are covered. That
no one. I know, it's but tough. Still, I'm surprised that they have not been found. Yeah. So that is interesting. The people in the photo have never been identified. Apparently another photo surfaced just of a similar looking female years later, again in Florida, that Tara's mom was shown, and she again thought, I think this is Tara, but authorities were very quick to debunk that one, I guess. But again, nobody came forward to claim who the girl was in the photo. And I'm just like, what are these photos of? Is this just a sick joke?
Oh God, I hope they get answers.
I don't know. There's
soon,
a lot of
so that.
There's a lot of mysterious things. Yeah. And I just want the family to have answers, but it's all very bizarre. I can't believe how long it's been unsolved. And I hope they can find something out. It's interesting.
Very. Well.
I know. Whenever I finish a true crime story, we're always like.
Listen, next week I have a true crime story and it's a huge bummer too, but it's really short. I'm going to put it right at the top and get it out of the way.
I know. We should never end on one of these
never
stories.
Never end on a true crime
so
story.
Sorry.
We have to raise our vibrations.
Whoops.
Yeah, guys, sorry.
Whoopsie
just
doodle.
Two stories this week,
sorry
but they were both
it.
Really good, so I hope you enjoyed them. Thank you so much for joining us this week and every other week of the past 7 years. I can't believe this whole thing worked out.
I know. Man, really.
If you would please, if you're watching on YouTube, or even if you aren't watching on YouTube, head over to www.youtube.com/keepitweirdpodcast and like this video and subscribe to our channel. We are less than 200 people away from 1,000 followers, which I think is pretty cool since we just started publishing regular content on here this year.
Honestly.
Yeah. Don't mind if I do. So yeah, head over, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Give us a little boosty boost. Also, follow us on social media at Keep It Weirdcast, especially with Halloween coming up. You know we've always got some Halloween antics going on. We want to try and help make your October as special and spooky as possible, and that includes creeping up in your socials. And if you have an extra dollar, $5, $10, or maybe you're Mr. Moneybags and you have an extra $50, head over to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast and donate to our show and help us keep going on into season 8.
Please.
I got a feeling, bzz, bzz, that tonight's gonna be a hive mind, that tonight's gonna be a hive mind, that tonight's gonna be a good hive mind feeling. It's hive mind. Okay, well, did you do your homework? Do you have any psychic tips for us today?
Oh, but can I tell you the cutest story before we officially
tell me after, because I was actually inspired by something Dana talked about last week. You know, she said, kind of prepare yourself, prepare your body, and then let it go. So I figured we'll do our usual eyes closed, meditative state, try to lock the symbol in our minds, and then instead of guessing immediately what the shape is, we let it go, have a quick mini chat about something, and see if anything pops in there.
That was good advice. And that's kind of, that kind of has to do with my cute story. So we'll
good.
Say it
so keep your cute story. Do we know whose turn it is?
Sure don't. It's been like a month.
Don't you stress. Okay, I'll go first.
No,
I'll
I'm
go
not
first.
Stressed.
Guessing?
You're going to go first.
Guessing,
yes.
You mean? Okay.
Yes.
Using Zener cards. As usual, there are no triangles. I'm picking a card from the top of the pile, and I am showing it to Lauren. And now let's meditate on it for a moment, and then we'll let it go. Okay, tell me your story.
My sweet parents were listening to the podcast, and my mom, as they're listening to us do the Zener card segment, my mom is like, guess what I'm thinking, Jeff? And he was like, okay, first of all, are you thinking just like any thought, or is it like a shape? And she's just giggling, and she's like, I don't know. But then she was like, okay, no, think of a shape. And without missing a beat, my dad was like, triangle. I don't know if that for sure was the shape, but right. And whatever he said, she was like, yes, and like started losing her mind and said that it was the correct shape. And I just thought it was such a cute moment because it kind of goes along with what you were saying. They didn't like really sit and meditate. They didn't even miss a beat. They were like laughing together, and she just was like, guess what I'm thinking? And he just laughed and was like, no, think of a shape. And they didn't put it to just the Zener cards. My dad just said a shape, and he was like, your mom truly could have thought of any shape, because I know she would be like sneaky and weird about it. And he got it right. So I thought that was adorable, and I feel like they're very connected.
That is adorable.
Yes, that was cute.
So sick of triangles, because every single time we do this, I don't know what it is. I think of a triangle, and maybe it's because I've cursed myself. But every time I keep seeing triangles, I do guess this shape, and it is always wrong. But was it a star?
It was a star.
Oh, fuck. I dropped it. Yeah, but I don't know if that was psychic or if that was just me thinking of triangles again.
Talking of triangles, I know. One of the times that you guessed triangle, it was a star, though, and then we went down a bad path because then we always said either triangle incorrectly or star. I don't know. But I love that for us that you got it.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it was Jeff and Jane's joy.
Jeff and Jane's joy brought us the star. I am making a shirt, everyone, just so you know. It's very cute. It has a deck of Zener cards on it, and it says there are no triangles. so that's going to be in our shop next month, along with another really, really good shirt.
Well, I will wear it proudly.
Yes.
Love that so much. Also, speaking of shirts, I'm wearing the Mothman shirt you got me.
I love that shirt.
It's so cute. It was like your parting gift.
You're the
when
cutest.
You it's the best. I know.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you in a week. We hope you have a good one and keep it weird.